Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. And we have another very, very, very special guest. And I will tell you where I met Christine DeGrazia. And we were in a book to business course. And that's where I launched my book weeks ago, Real Talk, which is available on Amazon. And it's the theme of the show, which is saying what you're afraid to say and getting into dialogue and creating a life that you really want. So Christine was in course. And when I heard what Christine also wrote a book, it's called she's the author of Self-Compassion Protocol. She also wrote a book. And when I heard what her book was about, I said, oh my God, we got to have her on the show because there's so many people that need to hear her message, especially after COVID. And so she's also the director of nursing. I forget where, but she can tell us that. And so I'm demonstrating how you don't have to be perfect to Christine so that she can say that, you know, mistakes are human. So anyway, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Christine DeGrazia, and we are going to have an unbelievable conversation about what she's up to, what her book's about, and what she's doing now. All right. So welcome, Christine.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
See? So nice to be here.
Yeah. So where are you the director of nursing? I forgot to write that down.
I am the director of nursing for a skilled building in Peckville, Pennsylvania.
Okay. What does that mean? Skilled building?
Like a nursing home, skilled care facility.
Oh, okay. Peckville, Pennsylvania. Wow. Okay, cool. All right. Well, thank you for being on. And I can't wait to have you tell your story about what happened. I did read your book, but I don't want to give that away. I know, you know, just tell us a little bit about growing up. I know you had said something about, first, we're going to go back and see how she got into her field. You had talked about your mom and how you ended up becoming a people pleaser. Do you want to tell us about that first?
Yeah. Well, it's funny that nurses usually do wind up being people pleasers. Mm. Now, when I researched that on myself, I realized that I became a people pleaser from my childhood. My mother she was abusive, and there was not a whole bunch of love in that home. Like, as far as, you know, I love yous, I'm proud of you, not really a whole bunch of encouragement, that kind of thing. So you're constantly seeking that. You're seeking that love. So you're doing what needs to be done to obtain it. So you're trying to please your parent, trying to, you know, get them to show affection and that, you know, like that type of thing.
And when you say abusive, physical, mental, verbal, like what she mean? What kind of abuse?
She was mean, and there was some physical abuse as well. There was five siblings, and you know, there was physical, and there was definitely verbal abuse.
Wow. And was your dad around?
My father worked two jobs. So my mother didn't work. And so he wasn't there a whole bunch of the time, you know, for that reason. And so we were mostly with mom, and, you know, she wound up being the one that did the abusing.
And did he know what was going on, or he just wasn't?
Honestly, looking back, I think she was to him as well.
Oh.
I think she was just, seriously, like, I think she was just one of those people who, like, I think she had some, obviously, some psychological issues going on, and, she took it out on everyone, and she didn't lead a happy life. But she didn't know how to fix it. She didn't know how to work on herself. She didn't know. She was married before my father, and that was an abusive relationship to her. And she divorced, got remarried to my father, and had two more children. And I think it just followed her. And I don't think she knew how to get away from it. I don't think she knew how to get away from it.
Okay,
So,
so
oh, I'm sorry.
no, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, so when like when you grow up with that, you're constantly looking, what can I do to make her happy? What can I do to get that love? And I think that's where the people pleasing comes in.
And were did any of your other siblings end up like that too?
Abusive, you mean, or
Well, like people pleasing. Like, I don't know. I'm one of five also, and I don't know that any of my, well, maybe one, are people pleasers, you know? So I'm just wondering if any of your siblings turned that way or if they
I know
went the
that
other way.
I know that my sister did.
Yeah.
As far as my older brothers, it's tough to say because they're
Yeah.
guys and it's a different,
Yeah.
but I
Yeah.
know my sister was just like me.
Interesting. Okay. So, all right. So you have that kind of mom, and then you said you were bullied. Where was that? Was that at school?
That was growing up, going to school. Again, there was five of us. My father worked, my mother didn't, and you're trying to raise five children, so you're wearing hand-me-downs. You just don't have all the best things in life, and which is fine, but unfortunately, you get bullied for that sometimes, and I know at least it was that way for me. So, I would get picked on for, say, not having the right brand jeans on, or now you're going back in the 70s. So,
Right.
if your skirt was longer than it should have been because the in thing was shorter skirts, then you got picked on for that. And so I did get bullied quite a bit. And, that always causes issues later on. So that's kind of why I have a closet full of clothes now, but that's a whole other show.
My God. All right, let's go look in your closet. Forget the rest of the story. I'm just kidding.
Honestly, you would be
Okay.
shocked.
Okay. So, all right. So you were bullied. Oh, you had said you were trying to be someone, something that you weren't.
Well, I think for myself, again, you're trying to people please, you're trying to be the best. And people pleasing goes beyond your parents. It goes to your boss. It goes to, you just always have that tendency to want to please people. So then you become the overachiever at work. And you're doing, can you stay an extra shift? Yes, I can, because I want to be the super person. And you're trying to be mom and pretty much super everything. And that's where also the compassion fatigue comes in, because you go into nursing being a people pleaser to begin with, and that just kind of compounds the whole issue.
Okay. All right. So right, we had said, how do you want me to be? Okay, so you're growing up, and then how did you pick nursing?
Well, it's I don't know if I picked it. It picked me. My kids were young, very, very young, and I always had that draw to it. And I thought, let me see if it's something that I want to explore. So I went and became a nurse's aide. And I thought, let me kind of, whether you want to say start from the bottom or just kind of try out, see if I liked it before I went full-fledged and got a degree. And I went in, I became a nurse's aide, loved it. And I knew at that point I wanted to go farther. So I then became an LPN. And I love that. And then I thought, well, you can go even farther. And that's when I went for my RN.
Wow. And what did you do before all that, before you got married and had kids?
Well, I m met my husband when I was 16.
Oh, okay.
I married him when I was 19.
Okay.
And then I had my children, my first one at 24. So before I became a nurse, I had worked for a doctor's office. I did medical billing. I did like odd, I don't want to say odd jobs, but
But you
things.
were always in the medical field, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting, right? Okay. You must have liked science. I
I did.
like
I do.
science.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay, so then you went and you got all those degrees. Wow, how long did that take? How many years?
It took a while, like it, because now, keep in mind, I was doing when like I went for the CNA, I always had to have a job during it, So then I became the CNA when I went back to school for the LPN. I was a full-time CNA at the time.
And
And
you
then
had kids.
I had kids. And then when I went back for the RN, I was full-time working, had the three kids, and the 2 days that I had off of work, I went to school for 16 hours a day to get my degree. So
Wow.
it, looking back, I wonder, like, how did I ever make it through that? Like, how did I survive? I
Well,
don't
you were
even.
obviously driven.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted better for my kids.
Yeah. And what did your husband do? Was
He
he around?
was around, yes.
Yeah.
He was a union construction supervisor. So he, had a very good job, but obviously, you want more for your kids, and that was my drive.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a
So
lot.
16 hours, like, what time is that to what time?
Well, I would get up at, so I worked every weekend and I would go to school,
Wow.
say Monday and Tuesday. So I would be in school at 8 o'clock
Yeah.
and would work or be in school until about 2. And then I would leave there. And because then I had to do my clinicals. So I would leave there, drive to the hospital, get changed in the car, and then go in and do my clinicals from 3 to 11. Yeah. And then go home, jump into bed, get up the next morning and do that. And then it would be back to work for the other 5 days and then studying in between. So my kids played sports. So it was not uncommon for me to have my books at the game and I'd be sitting in the stand studying, writing, doing whatever. They'd go into the game, drop the books, go, yay, team, and then go back to the studying when they were out of the game.
Oh my God. And how many years did you do that?
It took me, that particular schedule was about 5 years. That was about, because I could only go to school part time for the RN. And so obviously it dragged it out a little bit longer.
And that
So
was just the 5 years, it was just for the RN. So you had already done the nurse's aide and the LPN. So
correct.
the whole thing took a lot of years, right? For you to
Right.
get there.
I would say probably 7 or 8 years.
Good for you. Most people, I think, would have quit, you know, would have been too hard, but good for you. Okay. So that's amazing. All right, so then you became, so when did you start seeing this issue happen? Was it just after COVID? Or any other stories you have before we get to there?
Well, I mean, being a people pleaser during my marriage, again, you're giving up yourself for your spouse. You're doing things for them. You're giving up yourself for your children. So I think it went on for a while. I think that my job in COVID just kind of pushed everything over the edge. And like in my book, I even say this isn't a condition for just healthcare workers. This is for people who are balancing a crazy life and have, the kids, maybe they're taking care of their mom and dad at home. And, so they're experiencing obviously a lot of stress. So I think it started early, but for me, it was just who I was. That's what I did. I did everything for everyone and just kept it moving, And it was during then COVID that it really knocked me for a loop. Really. It was difficult. I was in administration at that time when COVID hit, and the first or one of the first cases that hit the East Coast was about 5 miles from the building I was working in. Now we didn't
So
know.
was that March? Was that after the rest of the country was shut down? Were you
That was
later
in
or
March.
before?
That was in
March, okay.
March. Yeah.
So
And
right during it.
right, it hit on in Washington, and then, like I said, this person contracted it, was one of the first ones on the East Coast, and it happened to be 5 miles from the building. So we were scared. We were, I mean, let's face it, we did not know what COVID was capable of. Were we going to be dead in 2 weeks? Were,
Right.
you know, we were scared for ourselves, we were scared for our families, we were scared for the residents. It was a terrifying time, and we just kept going. There was staff that quit, just walked out and said, "You know what? I'm not dealing with this." And they just quit nursing on the spot. And we're sitting there going, "Oh my God, what do we do?" And so I worked through administration. We had a census of probably, I'll say, about 80, 90 residents, and we were able to keep COVID out of the building for quite a while. We did a good job.
Wow.
And
How did you do that? How did you
it
do
was
it?
just being on t I and I'm going to say some of it was probably luck as well. But we were in a very rural area, and it was all of the precautions, the masks, everything. We were sticklers for making sure that everyone had a mask on. Nobody was allowed in the building other than staff. It was something, to say the least. So our census was, like I said, probably about 80. And when it finally did hit the building, we lost 15 people within a matter of weeks, 15 residents. And you become, when you work in that setting, you do become attached to them. It's not like in like a hospital where you have them for a week or so and then they're gone. You have these people for years. So you'd watch them, they would get sick, and you'd put them in quarantine. You'd celebrate them coming out, and then they would be gone within a week after that. Yeah. Or they would get it and they would die in quarantine, and there was nothing you could do. So that alone was pretty traumatizing. And I did that from in that setting for probably like from 19 until about November of 21, where I'm like, you know what? I think I'm done with this. Like, I think I need to kind of walk away from administration, because administration itself is very stressful. You throw COVID on it, and now it's almost unbearable. Like, policies were changing every 30 minutes. It was crazy. So I said, you know what? I think I need a break from this, because I started feeling it, but I didn't know what it was. And I thought, maybe I'm just tired. Maybe I need a change of scenery. Maybe I need to, just do something else for a little while. So
And what were you actually feeling? Like, was it physical? Was it
that
like
feeling of just, it was fatigue. I was irritable. I was getting cranky. I was getting, wasn't eating right, wasn't sleeping right. I left there. I tried travel nursing, and that's when, because I thought, all right, I'll take a break. I'll, completely new scenery. But that's when I knew something was really wrong. And I actually went to my doctor thinking, I must have something physically wrong with me. I must have a condition, because you're not going to be feeling like this for no reason. And
And the this it was fatigue, irritability, not eating or sleeping, anything else? Just
there's a
so
lot.
that people.
Yeah, you feel completely detached. completely detached. You can almost mistaken it for depression, but yet you know it's not. Like I knew, like I have a great life. My kids are wonderful. I have grandchildren. Like I have a great life, and I knew I wasn't depressed, but I also knew I was feeling all of these things that some people with depression feel. So, like, I mean, I had my thyroid checked. I did it because I'm thinking something's got to be wrong. And I can remember going to my doctor and sitting in the office and crying. And I'm telling her, I'm like, I'm not depressed. Like, I didn't want an antidepressant. I'm like, I'm not depressed. I'm fine. I just don't know what's wrong. And everything, fortunately, unfortunately, came back good. I had not, my blood work, everything was fine, which is wonderful. But when you're looking for an answer for how you're feeling, that's awful. 'Cause now you're like, well, what is it? Like, what is wrong with me? So, you know, again, I'm doing the travel nursing. I had to drive probably an hour and a half to and from work. And I was doing that for a while. I'm dealing with patients in the hospital. I thought, all right, this is okay, it's different.
What is travel? I mean, I sort of know what travel nursing is, but what? So before you were an admin, you were in one place. Travel nursing means they've assigned you to one person or anybody or place.
No, I went. What travel nursing is you take an assignment and you literally need to travel to get there. So I could take an assignment in, say, Texas or North Carolina, or, and you actually need to go there for that amount of weeks, like say 13, and you live there and you work there for that 13 weeks and then you get to come home.
So
Now,
is it in a place or in someone's house?
no, it
Like,
would be like in a hospital.
oh, okay. So
Yep, it would
yeah,
be in a
I've
hospital.
seen those. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just so I could picture it. Okay. So you're traveling an hour and a half each way to a hospital.
Yep, and you know, and again, I'm thinking, all right, maybe this is what I needed, but it wasn't. Like I can kind of start feeling it creep back in after you get the excitement of a new building and new people, and when that kind of wears off, you can feel that coming back. Like you could feel it's like, oh boy, like here we go. And
And what did you feel? Just the like.
for me, I felt like just utter despair.
Wow.
Despair is the probably the best way that I could put it. I didn't want to nurse anymore. And it wasn't a matter of like, I don't want to work anymore. Or I don't, you know, we all say that. I did not want to be a nurse anymore. And I would drive to work, I would drive back, and I would literally cry the whole time. And I like not just a little tear, like I'd literally be crying. And I can remember driving, crying, and I'd be asking God, like, you have to help me. And I
Wow.
apologize. I do get a little emotional over it.
Why? You don't have to apologize. I'm usually the crying one, so it's nice to have someone else cry for a change.
Hi,
I'll
Karen.
hand you a tissue through the,
Thank you.
yeah, no apologies necessary, please. Cry all you want. Go ahead. So you're
Thank you. I
driving,
appreciate
crying.
it.
Yeah. So you're asking God, and what happened?
I was like, God, you got to help me because I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. And he did. I started researching things when I on my off days. I'm like, there's got to be a reason. My blood work is fine. Everything is fine. And two, I hate to backtrack a little, but
No, it's fine.
when you're going through this, like you have your stress from work, you have stress that you may have had from whatever life experiences you have, and then you have your home stress. And one of the things that I usually reference is my son is a doctor, and he was working down in Johns Hopkins at the time the pandemic hit. So I'll never forget, we would check in with each other weekly. What's going on? How is it down there? How many, like just normal, what's going on kind of stuff. And he told me that they had like COVID units set up. They had the latest equipment, thank God, all the things that they needed. And they had it so that the doctors didn't even have to go into the rooms to examine the patients. The nurses did, obviously, but the doctors could stand outside the room, ask their questions, do their assessment from there, and never actually had to go in. And that's how I understand it to have been. And when he told me that he was still going into the rooms, like he was obviously the mother in me is like, why are you doing that? What, like, why? And his response was, well, what would that kind of a human being would I be if I let the nurses go in and take that risk and I didn't? And as a nurse, I couldn't have been prouder. As a mother, I couldn't have been more frightened. And I got off that phone call with him, and I don't think I've ever cried harder in my life. And then I had to go back to work and deal with the death and everything that I was facing there. So again, it's a lot of things that I think compound over a while. And as I was travel nursing, it just built up like unbelievable. Again, I'd be crying down, crying back. I'd walk in the building, I'd sit down to take report, and I didn't want to take it. I didn't want to do it. Didn't want to be there. Didn't want to take care of anybody. I'd be crying doing that. It was awful. It was awful.
And did you ever think of quitting?
Yes, absolutely. I would sit there and go, there's got to be something else that I can, there's got to be, because I don't want to do this anymore. I just don't. I don't want to deal with death anymore. I just don't want to do it. And that's an awful feeling. Awful.
All right, so what happened?
So what happened
Oh, you
was,
know what?
yes.
Well, we got 3 minutes and then we have our halftime show. But just a little more and then I can't wait to hear what happened. Okay. So stay tuned, but we're going to get a little teaser and then we'll go into the break. Go ahead.
So what I did was I started researching on my days off of my symptoms. What could it be? What could it? I mean, I just went full bore and I found what's called compassion fatigue. And I thought, can this be what I'm suffering from? And then I just put everything I had to researching everything about it, what the symptoms were, what you do about it. And it was like, oh my God, this is it. This is what I have. And I thought, if I have it, other people have it. And I knew it because the nurses that I was working with were complaining of the same things, and you can see them being drained. And one nurse would be like, you know what? Which, and this is going to sound awful, but it's the truth. And she would literally come on the unit. We would talk about this or that person. And she'd be like, you know what? Like, I wish they would just die already because I just don't want to, I can't. And that sounds terrible, but that's how bad it would get. So I knew other people were experiencing it. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a way to get this out there. And then came the book.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and then when you say something like that, I mean, trust me, we all have our moments where we say things we know we shouldn't, but it's the only thing there to say, which is a terrible thing. But then you feel bad about that, right? It kind
Right.
of compounds it because you're like, what kind of person am I that I could even say something like that? You
That's
know,
right.
like
Because
we
we
have,
have.
I'll just so you feel better. I don't want to say it, but plans. So there's a cancer plan, there's an accident plan, right? And people, most people buy it in case something happens, we pay them a lot of money, right? And so when someone, like I had one place that was giving it away for free and they still didn't take it. So one of my
Wow.
new agents said, I hope they get cancer. And I was like, I hear you. I mean, I didn't say don't say that. I think the same
Because
thing. I never said it out loud, but it's like, what are you, stupid? This is free.
it's
You know,
free. Why
so
would you not want it? Yeah.
yeah, like I want to shake them, but you know, so I get it. I get we just get to a point, you know, because you're just like, are you kidding me? Anyway, so it's
Hey.
different. It's not life or death, but I get the evil, you know, the terrible thinking, and then you feel like a terrible person. So, right?
Absolutely.
which
Absolutely.
compounds the whole thing a million times. What happened to me? You know, how could I write all that? So, okay. All right. So I can't wait to hear about the book when we come back. This is, well, I'm not saying your compassion fatigue is exciting, but I know that you've turned things around. So
That's
we'll get
right.
to that. Yeah, after the break. So yay.
Are you inspired? Are you living a life story you are proud to tell? Are you actively pursuing and creating the life of your dreams? If not, you really need Hillary's AAA program for freedom. Just visit gettingrealwithhillary.com and schedule time with Hillary today.
Has social emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Okay. So thank you, Kikori, our sponsor, and the AAA formula for freedom that I offer, but now it's called the Real Talk process. The getting, I forget the name, but it's the Getting Real process. So anyway, I have to update that commercial, but we will do that in time, right? So anyway, all right. So welcome back with Christine DeGrazia. And Christine was suffering from compassion fatigue. She had figured out what it was, and now we're going to hear the rest of the story. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it, like I said, it was figuring out what it was. Once I figured out what it was, because obviously I never heard of it before, it was just gathering information, figuring out what I was going to do. And like I said, I knew that I wasn't the only one suffering from this. I knew it. I knew that my colleagues were as well. So what was I going to do to help them? You know what I mean? Like I wanted to get the word out, and there are books out there on it. Some of them are by psychologists and wonderfully qualified people. But I thought, what if they heard it from one of their own, for lack of a better way to put that, somebody who actually felt it, was dealing with it, and luckily enough came through it. So that's where the inspiration for the book came.
So, okay. Before you go to the book, when was the turning point? So you're feeling terrible, you wanted to quit, you're crying on the way back and forth from work, not wanting to do nursing. Did just finding out what it was give you like a new lease on life? Now you had a mission to help others. Was it automatic that all of a sudden you started feeling better? Or were there things that you did, was it a process or was it like, boom, okay, now I'm Supergirl again.
No, definitely. I like that. No, it was definitely a process. It was great. What wound up happening is I had to take a leave of work because I couldn't go and work on this and continue to work at the same time, at least not for me. So I was fortunate enough to be able to take off some time and deal with what I had going on, which was very helpful. So I did talk
And
to
what,
someone. I'm
okay.
sorry.
No. I was just going to ask you, like, what did you do so that other people, I mean, obviously we want them to get your book, but just in the short term, like, what can people do if they're feeling that way?
Well, the first thing is realizing what it is and realizing, when you're having these symptoms that this is what it is and there is a way out. That's most important.
Okay. So it's like
And
awareness, awareness.
right,
Yeah.
you need to be aware and you can get through it and still continue to nurse. You
Okay.
see now that a lot of healthcare workers are getting out of the field altogether. I think the statistic is 47% of all healthcare workers plan on being out of it by 2025. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. And this probably has something to do with it. And if you can fix it and then stay in the career that you love, because let's face it, if we've picked nursing or anything in the healthcare, there's a reason why you've picked your career, and it's because that's what you love to do. And to have to leave that to do something else because you just can't do it anymore is tough. So if it can be worked through and you can remain doing what you love, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. So I took my time off. I did speak to someone, and I think speaking to someone is very important, whether people speak to me about it or someone else. It's just talking about it, getting your feelings out there, being honest and telling people how you're really feeling is a huge weight lifted off your shoulders, especially when you can talk to someone who's been through it and validates those feelings. That can be huge. But what I found is it comes down to, now don't get me wrong, like we all love, we get stressed, we get burnt out, and people always say, well, take time off and, have a spa day. And spa days are great. Glass of wine, fabulous. Wouldn't turn them down on any given day. However, it wasn't going to fix this. So it's digging a little bit deeper. It's figuring out why you do the things you do. Why are you a people pleaser? And I figured out why I was. Nurses, like I said, tend to be people pleasers, but it's what are you trying to prove? Where are you going? Like, what is it that you really want out of life? And it's asking those questions. It's being very, very honest with yourself. It's taking the time that you need to figure things out. Why do you want to be super mom? Why do you want to be super nurse, super employee, super anything? Like, why do people not take their time off? We all deserve our vacation. And there is absolutely no award out there. There is no medal for not taking your vacation time. Because trust me, if there
Wait,
was,
I thought the angels came and put like angel wings on your chest if you didn't take your
right?
vacation. Doesn't something happen?
Right? Like that's, yeah, no. The only thing you do is hurt
You're
yourself.
elevated on your pedestal. I mean, something's got to be there, right?
That's right. And again, we got a medal for not taking it, I would be the Michael Phelps of not taking vacation time. Seriously. When I left my administration job, I had 7 weeks of unused time. Why did I have 7 weeks of unused time? And again, we think that there's some kind of nobility in saying that. Oh, I never take time off. I never take my vacation. I ne No. The only thing you're doing is mentally hurting yourself. You're physically hurting yourself. You're not spending time to heal and to repair yourself. You're losing time with your family that you can't get back. All of these things that are so much more important. And when they say that, your employee will have or your employer will have you replaced in 1 week if you die, that is the truth. They will. So we need to take the time to repair ourselves, to heal ourselves, so we can help other people and we can be there for everyone else. And
Wow.
that's kind of what I came
Yeah.
to doing my book.
And how long did it take you to get back? Did you go back to work? Like, how long was your recovery?
I was, I'm going to say, Probably a good 4 to 5 months.
Wow.
That's what I would say. It was working through a lot of issues, again, realizing what I was doing, taking responsibility for that. Yep, you're right. I did not do what I needed to do to make myself feel better. I didn't take care of myself.
Wow.
I was too busy taking care of everybody else. And
So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
no. So when you went, so did you go back? I know you wrote the book. We're going to get to that, but did you go back to nursing, and was it different? Was it back the way it used to be? Did you take breaks? Did you take vacations? Like,
Well, one of the things that I say is that doing this, you have to set boundaries. Okay, boundaries are so important. It kind of lets people know what you will and will not accept in your life. And they can be done, and they need to be done with family, with friends, with your employer. Like, you have to learn to say no. You can say it in a nice way. You can say, I can't really fit that in at this time, however you need to put it. But it's very important to set boundaries, to let people know exactly where you stand. And it makes things so much easier. So I did go back to nursing. I did go back to administration, but I went back with boundaries. And I do take time off. And I do take time for myself. And it has made such a difference. And the
And
other
was it hard? Was it hard to do that? Or were you like, I'm doing it? You know what I mean? Like, was a little people pleasing, wanting to be noble still left? Or were you just like, nope, I'm not going to end up like I was, and I'm going to do what I need to do? Like, was it simple
Well,
at that point?
here's what I say is that anytime that we change, it's never an overnight thing. Okay. I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think anybody wakes up and goes, you know what? Like, I'm just not going to people please anymore. We're kind of done with that. Or, you know what I mean? Or I'm just going to be positive self-talk from this moment on. It's not going to happen. So it's a constant work, and you have to have the mindset to want to do it. You have to have the drive to want to achieve it. But it's a daily work. You have to work on it every day. And I find myself sometimes slipping back into old habits. It's going to happen. But now I have the knowledge to recognize it much earlier and to pull back and say, you know what? This doesn't work for me. I will gladly help you as much as I can. I will do this or that, come up. But what you're asking, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And
That's amazing.
once you start doing that, you become empowered. You're like, hey, wait a minute, I actually do matter. Because we do. Everybody matters. Just your sheer existence matters, and you matter to somebody. And the quicker that we realize that, the better off we are. And it's just, and you have to remember every day that you matter and that you're important and your mental health is important and things that you want to do are important, regardless of what someone else may think about it or, oh, well, that's, it
Well,
doesn't matter.
one of the things that I say now is that I can make my life work. So even if I've said yes to something and I go, that is not having my life work for me, maybe for them, but not for me. And I'll say, you know what? No. And then, and I'm surprised that they don't have a hissy fit. They don't get mad. They're just like, okay. It's like, why didn't I know I could, why didn't I know that 25 or a lot of
Right?
years ago that I could just say no? Because I
Exactly.
wanted to make them happy. You know, somebody said once, oh, can you talk at 10 a.m.? It was on a Sunday. And I was like, no, I wasn't going to be at the gym then. But I was like, can I say no? And I was like, hey, would 1 o'clock work? And they were like, sure. I'm like, oh my God, that was so easy.
Like, who would have thought it was that easy?
Who would have thought?
Oh my
I didn't
God.
have to agree. Just, yeah, the little stuff like that. Yeah, amazing. Okay. All right. So then, so there you were. You went back. You're taking your boundaries. You're saying, you know, making your life work. How did you decide to do the book?
It was
or was there another step? Go ahead.
No, it was actually in the middle of all that, that I thought, you know what? I'm feeling this. Other people have to be feeling this. And I, again, like I thought the best way to get it out, to reach a lot of people, was by writing a book. And again, having it come from somebody who was literally going through it. And so the book was, the process was literally written as I was going through the process. Right till the end, where it was like, you know what? I am in charge of my life. I'm in charge of my happiness. I matter. And, you know, I'm going to start moving forward again. And, you know, it was almost therapeutic for me to do it. I had that sense of helping others still because, you know, writing the book. And, but to me, that's a healthy way to help others. I'm not, I'm doing something that I enjoy. I found out that I love writing and I enjoyed it. And then on top of it, I have the satisfaction of hoping that I'm helping other people out there with this as well.
And did you, when you wrote it, were you in this program then, or did you write that one by yourself?
No, I was actually in the program.
The book to business.
Yes.
So we'll just say with Lynn Elioff, you can look her up. If you have some kind of a coaching business or some business where you want to help people, her program in 90 days, you will have a book that you can use to help get your business going, right? And it works. Her system works.
I mean, absolutely.
My book was published before I knew it. I was like, whoa, look at that.
Right? You know,
so much easier than trying to do it myself with my first book that took 7 years.
Wow. Yeah.
But I was doing it all myself. I had to figure it all out myself. So this way is much easier. So we recommend Lynn. You can contact me and I'll give you her information if you'd like. But anyway, so go ahead. So you joined her program and you wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And you, when was that? When was it published? How long ago?
Mine came out in the beginning of February. In the beginning of February. And it's done, you know, pretty good. And it's funny because I started doing like speaking engagements on it now. And that's been very exciting. I've done a few. I actually did at Penn State, a campus near me yesterday, which was very exciting. And am I perfect at it? No, I'm not, but it's okay. And I'm having a great time doing it. And I'm hopefully helping people, you know, along the way. And that's what's important. And who knows where it's going to take me. And but I'm ready to, for the trip.
Wow. And how did you get your first speaking engagement? That's incredible.
Well, here's what I found out. And I'm a firm believer in our life. We create our life by our thoughts, by our actions every single day. And I wrote my book and it was released. And I kind of, I don't want to say I didn't do much, but that would be the truth. I really didn't get it out there like I should have. And one day I thought, you know what? What are you doing? Like, you know, you've done all this work. You need to get it out there. I felt I was doing an injustice to people by not getting it out there and helping them. So then I contacted a few people, cold contacted a few colleges. And guess what? They were more than receptive, more than. And couldn't have welcomed me, you know, with any more open arms. And I'm continuing to do that. I'm going to actually go to hospitals and facilities like that to get the word out there.
Yeah, I was going to ask why colleges and not hospitals, because it seems like at colleges, they haven't yet been out in the field, so they don't know. I mean, you could warn them, but in the hospitals, it seems like that's where it would really be a problem.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
And you're right. And I was kind of, what the thought with the colleges was, it does affect more than like nurses or doctors, or it's social workers, it's therapists, it's first responders. In my speech yesterday, there was an ex police officer there who got up afterwards and he's like, oh my God, this is exactly what I was feeling and why I quit being a police officer.
Wow. Oh my God.
Right? And I thought, wow, that yeah. So, you know, I kind of went that route and expand into the hospitals to get obviously the healthcare workers there. And I'm in the process of developing a workshop to offer to hospitals, things like that, you know, like a couple hour workshop just to kind of teach people how to treat themselves well, how to relax, how to be there for them. So it's exciting.
Wow. And are you still nurse? You're still a nurse though.
I
have a full-time job.
I still have a full-time job.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow.
So that's
amazing.
Thing never really left of, but at least I know.
But you're enjoying it. You're having fun, right? And your kids are grown now. Your kids are grown.
They are.
So yeah. Wow. So, okay. So we're down to the lot. Well, we got 4 minutes, but I just want to make sure we tell people how to find you. So if in case, you know, maybe they want you to speak or maybe they want to buy your book, the book is called Self-Compassion Protocol, available on Amazon, right?
Yep.
And then your website is christinedegrazia.com, right? Which is Christine, CHRISTINEDEGRAZIA.com.
Right.
And how else, what would you recommend? What do you want to leave people with? What's an action step they can take?
Oh, an action step that they can take. Well, again, it's realizing, acknowledging what you're going through. And when you do, when you're feeling this, reach out. And I say, if you are the person feeling it, reach out to someone, anyone. Again, whether it's me, a coworker, someone. And to the people that are working and may be seeing colleagues experiencing this, reach out to them. Even if it's just to lend your ear and say, I'm here. We need, and I get emotional.
That's fine.
We need to reach out and be there for each other and help each other through this. And I want to leave with one quick little quote here, and it's by Katie Reed. And it says, self-care is giving the world the best of you instead of what's left of you.
Say that again. That's amazing. Yeah.
Self-care is giving the world the best of you instead of what's left of you.
Wow.
And we need to remember that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for being such an inspiration, for not letting it get the best of you, and for, you know, doing the research to figure out what it was so that you can make your life work first. And now look at what you're doing for all these other people. So if you would like Christine to speak, contact her. Can they contact you at christinedegrazia.com? Is there a place where they can contact you?
Contact me through there. They can email me at christine@christinedegrazia.com.
Okay.
Reach out. However, I have a business Facebook page, Christine-DeGrazia. You can contact me through there.
Okay. All right.
However,
yeah.
I'd be glad to.
Because we can't afford to have all these healthcare workers leave.
No.
Where will we be? Really? Okay. It won't be good. So let's keep them in their field. They're great at it. We appreciate everybody who's in that field. And thank you, Christine. Anything in, I think we're almost done, but any last words?
Just thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me get this out there. And hopefully we can help a few people.
Yeah, let's do that. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, and you can get Christine's book, Self-Compassion Protocol, on Amazon, and my book, which this is real talk. We're talking about what's real and what people don't talk about. Real talk, by Hilary Arno Burns on Amazon. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hilary show. We hope you are entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hilary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhilary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.